And then if that date is a different gender, the next dance, sweet. You know, like,
we're going to play a little game.
You know what I mean?
We're going to play a little game called...
This episode has to be...
Sound Engineer Says, okay? We'll start right now. Sound Engineer Says you need to move that away from your immediate span of touch.
I moved it.
You've hit that thing 14 times since I've asked you not to.
I know. Well, you, first off, you were like, you don't need a straw. So then I got a straw. Now I'm hitting the straw.
Okay.
I'm doing everything you ask. Anyways, but you know what I mean? Okay, team. Quick question, Ariel.
Hello.
What?
Hello.
What is your relationship growing up with chain restaurants?
That's what we had. That's what we had in Memphis. That was just restaurants.
Yeah.
What do you mean chain restaurants? Like,
yeah,
the few non-chain restaurants that we had were usually like a local Mexican joint, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even know there was a distinction in restaurants, really, probably until I moved to Washington and everyone was like, oh yeah, we want to support small local business. And I was like, oh, well. That's interesting. I never thought twice about that.
Yeah.
Almost every restaurant we went to was a chain restaurant.
Absolutely.
In Memphis.
Agreed.
It's just a town with a lot of chain restaurants.
What was your go-to?
Chili's, Applebee's growing up. A lot of Applebee's. I really liked their kids' pizza growing up. Zaxby's. Did y'all have that?
No.
Never heard of it.
Chicken place. Chick-fil-A, for sure.
We did not have any of these.
No. We didn't even have, we had one Chili's and it was like a treat. You'd go to Great Falls.
Great Falls, yeah.
It's always a treat.
Yep, right next to the Macaroni Grill.
Yeah.
Oh, Macaroni Grill.
Yep.
That was good because you could draw on the table.
Yep.
My
family personally fucks with Applebee's.
Applebee's is good.
We love Applebee's. And it's also on the south end of Missoula, so it was always like convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Do you guys remember when Applebee's did their big remodel?
Mm-hmm.
That was a cultural shift. That was a cultural shift in Midwest culture.
Did they get rid of the stained glass lamps? Is that?
I think they maybe have those still. No, they don't.
Did they get rid of all the crap on the walls?
Exactly. So every single Applebee's used to have the carousel horses, right?
Yes.
And then they had the big things around the bar. And then they also, every single one had the Marilyn Monroe Elvis corner. It was like the same, no matter what Applebee's you walked into, you literally would go to the right in that corner right there. And it was Marilyn Monroe, a bunch of memorabilia and Elvis.
Yeah.
And it was like that table.
Mom and dad.
Yep. Yeah. Just kitschy like shit everywhere. And then they went through that.
Sound off in the comments if you hit your head on one of those stained glass.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really
light standing up. Yeah.
Never was tall enough. Still am not.
I want one of those in my
house. I know. Do you think you could get them somewhere? I bet you probably
Facebook
could.
Marketplace. Yeah. I bet I could.
Yep. But then they went through this big rebrand and I will never forget the moment. And they like cleared it all out and they went minimalist and that they got rid of the mints. They took the mints away.
That's right.
Yep.
It's fucked up because you know people's breath be stinking after endless shrimp.
But I ask because the way that we look at chain restaurants and we share that Seattle's a city full of transplants, a bunch of people that came from other small places like us.
Right.
And chain restaurants were like the soul of where you ate with your family. Like we had to drive 6 hours to get to Olive Garden or Red Lobster because it was only in Billings. And it was a treat. Absolutely. Like that was fancy occasion.
Fine dining. That Olive Garden.
You've got a tank with a live lobster in it.
Yeah. That's sick actually, but.
That is sick. Sick in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, one of the fun things that Tyler and our friends have done here is we've started, well, we used to call it the chain gang, but that kind of felt like problematic potentially. So what do we call it now?
Franchise friends.
And it's a group of just a bunch of people that all grew up in the Midwest. And like every month we pick a chain restaurant to go to because in a city like Seattle, they're not accessible. They're not like in the city. There's like a big thing they call like the Dairy Queen ring, where if you look at a map of Seattle, there's like a border before you get to any of the chain restaurants.
Except for the Cheesecake Factory down on.
There is a Cheesecake Factory and a Hard Rock Cafe, if you count that.
That makes sense.
Above the market.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, you got to find a chain. Like you got to go up Linwood.
Yes. Even fast food chains are hard to find.
South Center.
And if you do find them, they are going to be double the price. They're going to be gouging you.
Right.
Like that Taco Bell in Queen Anne. Fuck that Taco Bell.
Yep. Absolutely. So anyways, once a month, we all pick a chain restaurant and then we go eat and we
Have you had a bad experience at any of them?
No. The other thing we do, so this part's really fun. We have one review account, Yelp review. And like, I made the rule, like, it has to be a 5-star Yelp review.
Always?
Yep. Yeah, because these people be working their ass off at a chain restaurant. So like, we go in with that mentality of like, you get what you get.
Yes.
You know?
We're not expecting the world.
And then what we do is we pass the phone around and each like write like a piece or a little line.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I think we could probably get into it.
Yeah, let's get into it, Isaac Lewis.
So I had an assignment, right?
Yeah.
Yep. We went over Tyler's coming out story last time. Mm-hmm. And now I have to go. Full transparency, we tried to do this once and I did it. And I felt like it was just very, I just kind of like rushed through it and went like, I did this and then I did this. And it just like didn't feel like I hit on any of the things I actually wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it is kind of like you said, Tyler, where I have never really told, I haven't really talked about the full story.
Yeah.
Or of like me, or even processed in my own head of like coming out and the what that was like and mm-hmm. what it meant to me and like why it was really hard and mm-hmm. the parts that were easy and the parts that were exciting. And so I feel like a lot of this is therapeutic for both of us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I kind of, this time around, like I wrote some things down that I want to make sure that I talk about. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I'm ready to do it.
Will you set the scene for us? Like where we are in time, I guess.
Yeah. So we told the story of Tyler and I getting together. So I think our official date, we always say, is April 1st, 2015. April Fool's Day. One big joke.
And it's a fun one to post.
That was yep. funny.
So this would have been 2015. We decided we're together. We've said, I love you to each other. We're like in it and we're being a couple behind the scenes. And so then it was like this big weight that I was putting on myself of like, now I have to come out, right? Because obviously I'm in this relationship and it's not fair to Tyler.
And Tyler's
who
out.
Is out, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And he has this secret boyfriend.
But it was pretty easy to keep it a secret based on our situation.
Yeah.
Like we were also best friends.
Yeah.
So we spent a lot of time yeah. together. But people were just like, well, they're best friends.
Yep. And like Tyler was so patient with me. And like I never felt any sort of pressure from Tyler that like I needed to come out, which that's just a really hard place to be in.
It's hard for
any couple, right? Yeah. For any couple where one is out and one is not out. That's just hard for both of them because you have this like, you're limiting someone from being their full authentic self in this relationship because they're already out. And then on the other side, this person has this immense pressure and responsibility and this like kind of increased timeline mm-hmm. to come out. And I never felt that with you. So that's always something I've been like really appreciative with Tyler. And like, I knew I was with the right person because it was just like holding hands at our own pace.
Mm-hmm. It's really sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I empathize hard with both spots in a relationship like
yeah,
that. I have
so
been
tough.
The person who was not out when my partner had been out for a long time.
Yeah.
In my first relationship, and it was hard. It was really hard because I also get it too of like, if I was at a place where I never wanted to come out or yep. it felt like this is going to be a years long process for me, I wouldn't blame someone for being like, I need to be in an open and out relationship.
Yep.
It's just yeah. isn't working for me.
Yeah. And sometimes there's a lot of trauma, right, with yes. coming out. So when you're that person that's already out, you yes. kind of feel like you're getting pulled back into it and you're like,
totally.
I kind of already went through this and
yeah.
I don't want to do it again.
Which I don't think I really felt like that.
Not at all. Like we were in it together and we were both yeah. going through it together.
Yeah.
So I think we're a different situation.
As corny
but I
as
think
it sounds,
now it's probably a little bit different for people where I'm
right,
like,
right,
I
right.
understand when someone's like, I mean, we have friends that are like, I won't date anyone that's not out.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
And I think it's hard for on either end. It's just hard it's to like get hard. Into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, internally, I didn't have any like resentment, but as corny as it sounds, I think in my mind, I was like, this is worth it. So however much time it takes, eventually it'll be there. It'll
Let
get
me work
there.
It.
Yeah. I will say though, there was like, it started to get the parts where I struggled with, or it would get frustrating for me is Isaac at that time, like we had said, was like a prominent, like on campus professional. Mm-hmm. There was other people on campus professional are just like, he was just like this eligible bachelor that everybody wanted to hook up with. Like he'd have not hook up with, sorry. People wanted to hook him up with people.
Oh, right.
So mm-hmm. like he would have
he
like
was a catch.
People that worked. Yes. So he would like people that worked for him, his RAs and stuff would be like, what about this person? What about this person? And
yep.
In my mind, I'm like, none of you bitches have any idea what's actually going on.
Right.
So
yeah. My like, staff at the time thought I was full on having these like secret relationships,
yeah.
with, which I was having a secret relationship, just not the kind they thought.
Right.
Where I was like going away on the weekends to Chico with girlfriends and things like it. Just wild. Like,
what's Chico?
It's a hot springs resort.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause Chico's is like an older woman's clothing brand.
We yes. also did have
my grandma's favorite. Yes. We also had Chico's. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So there was just like, there would are like people would be, there was some people that had obvious crushes on Isaac and would be hitting on him in public, and I would just be like, oh my god.
You wanted to claim your man.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But
yeah. And to be honest, it was probably 9 months before I ever came out to anyone else but Tyler. Mm-hmm. Well, it was like a year and a half before I really came out to anyone, but it was 9 months since we started dating before mm-hmm. I came out to anyone or told anyone.
That's full term.
So, which is pretty slow.
We carried our secret relationship to full term.
And it was ready to go when you birthed
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Live birth.
Yeah.
So it was like a really nice 9 months to just like be us. Sorry, I gotta quit saying 9 months. I did it really slow, and Tyler let me do that, and I've always been really thankful for that. But in that time period, we kind of just got to be like behind the scenes us, and it was fun and exciting.
Yeah.
But then there was also this ticking clock with not like a set amount of time, but just like this had to happen.
Yeah.
So the first person I remember telling was one of our best friends, and it was Tyler's like home, one of his original best friends, Maddie, who like he grew up with. Their parents were best friends in college. Mm-hmm. He's known her his entire life. And then she moved to Bozeman, and then we all became like really good friends. And she was graduating, and so she was leaving Bozeman. So it was really important that I like tell her before she left, and I wanted to do it in person. So we went to Bridger Brewing in Bozeman. Shout out to the Lee Metcalf Pale Ale. It's my number one favorite beer.
And shout out to Maddie.
Yep. And so I was like, I'm just going to do it, and I'm going to like sit down, and I'm going to have this lunch. And like my approach for coming out was always very opposite of Tyler, where he like had a plan, a timeline, a checklist. Mine was like, I'm feeling it in this moment right now, and if I don't do it, I won't do it. So we sit down, we have lunch.
I would always learn after.
Yeah.
He would be like,
I would never tell him preemptively. Yeah. I was going to like tell someone. So I remember sitting at this lunch, and it's one of my absolute favorite stories because it's the bill's coming, and I'm like, of course, waiting to the absolute possible moment. And
you're
I'm just
about
like,
to say goodbye.
Okay, there's one more thing I have to tell you. And I can tell she's like kind of nervous. And so I'm like, I'm dating Tyler and we're together. And at first she laughs, and I feel like all this weight drop off her shoulders because she is full on 100% convinced that I'm about to tell her that I'm in love with her as she's leaving. And she like was in a relationship at the time, and she very much was just like,
I don't need this right
please
now.
Please don't ruin this for me. Please do not ruin this for me. And then when I said that, it was like,
oh, thank God.
Relief, but also tears and excitement. And we were both like crying and happy. And it was like it was a great like first coming out testing of the waters for me to go through it.
Good.
And I remember just feeling like euphoric afterwards.
Good.
So that was the first one. And then I kind of just really focused on my close, close friends. Mm-hmm. So I told Allie, who...
Love Allie.
Yep. You've seen all of our artwork and logo work. Mm-hmm. Allie is the one who did it for us. She's amazingly talented.
Incredibly talented.
And so we were going to a wedding next day. She was visiting because I think she was living in Colorado at the time still. And we're laying there at 4 a.m. and I'm just like, I'm going to tell her. Like, once again, it was always just that spark moment of excitement of being like, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. Usually it took a little bit of liquid courage, like yep. at least 2 beers to 6 beer, like that mid range, you know?
Just a little bit, 6 beers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember just laying there and telling her, and she was the same thing, like ecstatic, super excited. And then what did she do that next morning?
The next morning we were like kind of pre-gaming the wedding. And again, I did not know that he had told her. So we're like,
he didn't text you
or anything.
Allie
really
knows.
Yeah.
It wasn't time.
Maddie came home and smacked me on the couch and was like, 9 months this has been going on. And I was like, well, I guess he told her today. And then the next day, Allie she was like, let's do a cheers, because we were just like pre-gaming. She's like, to your and Isaac's relationship. And it was this like awkward moment of like,
do I know that you know our friendship?
And then I think I was like, I told her.
Yeah. So then, yay. Yeah. So. Yep.
So those were the first two people. And then our next one was a really big one, because it was Jordan, and it was really important that Jordan knew. Yeah. And Jordan, I met the exact same time as Tyler.
Yep.
We've been this trio. We're yep. best friends. And I think even in straight relationships, it is always hard when you have three people.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. two of them are dating.
Yeah.
And I think Tyler and I had been dating for a year at that point, or almost a year. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want her to feel hurt, but understood if she did, mm-hmm. of why we didn't tell her this like big thing about us. Plus, we didn't want our relationship and friendship to change.
Right.
So that one we were nervous about, but it was never about Jordan. It was about us.
Yeah.
Of just like, we need to tell her. And so I remember sitting down in my apartment in South Hedges, and just Tyler was sitting at the table doing homework. And it was just me and Jordan on the couch. And I was just like, we have something to tell you. And we're nervous and excited about it. We're together. And I think if I remember right, I think she also thought we were kidding at the time.
I think she did, yeah.
And then it just kind of clicked. And she's like, well, that makes a fucking lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now I understand why I've been feeling a little left out here.
Yep. Yep. And there was this moment too, where during that like 9 months of secretness of us dating, Tyler was 100% naked in my closet one time.
Oh my God.
In the box.
You were back in the closet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Literally.
Yep. Like literally.
Nary a piece of clothing.
I used to always leave my spare key out hidden under a rock. Mm-hmm. And like my friends would come and go. Tyler would come and go. And then anytime Tyler would come over, I would pull in the spare key. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, I just get this. Someone's at the door. And I'm like, it's Jordan. Mm-hmm. And she laughs at this to this day, thankfully. But Tyler is bare ass naked. Jumps into my closet. And then I go get Jordan by the front door and a back door. Mm-hmm. He then gets his clothes on.
Yep.
While I'm sitting here talking to Jordan.
Yeah.
He goes out the back door, clothed, goes all the way around, comes in the front door as if he just got there.
Wow.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
God, you said you're not an actor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
When it really counts, it
was,
you are.
I was like, wow, I remember standing in the closet and being able, like, she had come partway down the hallway, like, almost into the room where I can like hear their every conversation. And I'm like right there trying to breathe quietly.
Yeah.
Wild.
I think he came in and went, hey, the spare key's not out. What's up?
Okay. So if she had for some reason opened that closet and saw you in there, butt ass naked.
Oh my God.
Would there have been an excuse that you could have come up with on the fly?
I wouldn't have been able to. Isaac might have.
I'm delusional enough that I would have tried.
You would have been like, "What are you doing in there, you pervert?"
Yeah. Have you been in there the whole time?
Oh God, you would.
Throw him under the bus.
Are you wearing my pants? So, anyways, we told Jordan. Mm-hmm. She was obviously super supportive and was excited. Of course. Think we had a lot of questions to answer in the last 9 months about why Tyler and I were spending so much specific time together.
Totally.
So it was great to like have that close circle around us that we now could talk about with our relationship. And by that, I mean like three or four people. Mm-hmm. And that was it was just really great to have. And it was very exciting. And then it came time to where like I needed to tell my family because that's who I felt like was next.
Yeah.
And that was hard. Mm-hmm. And it was never hard because I was ever worried about my family. My family, like Tyler and I are both been so privileged and our families have always been super supportive of us and have always been like welcoming and loved us. So I was never worried about like the reaction or the aftermath. It's just like the hardest people to tell for me in my experience was definitely the people that have known you the longest. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like you felt like you've lied to them.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of coming forth to be like, hey, I've been telling this big fib that I didn't really know it was a fib.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of just come to my own conclusion that I was fibbing for a long time. And I think it's really hard because it's like, hey, there's this piece of you that you didn't know about.
Yeah.
And now this is it. Yeah. And so I think that's always just a really hard group. That's why for me, like, it was not natural to go to my family first.
Yes.
And I think for most people, that's probably the case. Like, most people don't start with their parents.
I think it's good to normalize that. You're going to you might feel a sense of, like, shame or guilt at some point, even with parents like ours that we knew would accept and love us and say nothing but yay gay.
Absolutely. So I was just kind of nervous about that. So I definitely had been putting it off. And so I remember, same thing. My sister Lacey just happened to be in town. She was coming through for work. And so we went to dinner at where?
Chain.
Outback?
This one was Old Chicago. So
Old Chicago.
Another beloved classic. Chain. A classic. So we were at Old Chicago. Had a tall boy beer of Coming Out Courage.
Good. That's,
we should create a beer. Coming Out Courage Light. Damn. Wow. Write that down. Cool. Anyways.
COC? Cock? Okay, perfect.
Oh, funny.
The branding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I just like was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna tell her. And so I remember sitting there and I was like, hey, I'm dating someone. And she too was like, what's her name? And I'm like, it's not a she. I'm like, I'm dating Tyler. So very much back to the same conversation. I didn't say the words I'm gay.
Yeah.
That was like too much.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay. Okay. She definitely had questions. I don't think she expected it. One of her questions that I always think is so funny and I laugh at is she did the classic, so like, which one of you is the guy and which one's the girl?
That's a classic. And yeah, no matter how you identify, you're going to get it. me and Allie get it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yep. And so I just had, I was just like, well, Lisa doesn't like really work like that. Like, we're both guys.
That's the point.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. So it was really good. It was a ton of emotion from me. I remember just like eventually bawling and letting it all out. But it was just like this, like letting a ton of stress and trauma that I'd been internalizing and feeling, just like pouring it out to my sister. So I think she was just kind of there to like catch the tears.
Yeah.
And so we drove around Bozeman, cried for a bit. And I remember we came back to my apartment and Jordan was there. And I just, I was like, well, I told her.
Oh my gosh.
And like my sister was great. And then it I remember like, I think I like took a shower or something, but I was gone for 20 minutes and just like Jordan and my sister had this really great conversation, which is why it was like, those allies are like so fucking important, because mm-hmm. it was like this person that had known me for 3 years, very deeply knew me, mm-hmm. and this person who'd known me for 25 years, and just being able to like talk about it between them without me in it, I feel like was helpful for both my sister. And like, I've always been really appreciative to Jordan for that.
Absolutely. Like,
so that was the first one. And then it was probably another 4 months.
Wow.
Before I told my parents.
The big boss.
Yep.
The big boss.
Yep. And Tyler told his parents that weekend too, when I told my sister about like us. So we were definitely like on this path. Like, we are moving forward. Mm-hmm. And like, I've also been really thankful to my sister Lacey. She like kept that secret from, and like, I shouldn't say kept that secret. She let me tell my parents. I think she knew that that was really important.
It wasn't hers to tell.
Yep.
Why do you think it was so difficult to tell your parents? Like, why did you work up to them?
Yeah, I think it goes back to, once again, I was never worried about my parents like accepting me. That was mm-hmm. never a question. Mm-hmm. They're both relatively like left-leaning. My dad was a psychology, world history, sociology teacher at my mm-hmm. high school, and whose brother was gay. Mm-hmm. And so always was like a huge supporter of us. And same thing with my mom. Like, I knew there would always be acceptance, but I think a lot of it for me was like, I had to go through this big process to deprogram myself of everything I expected for myself and my life.
Yeah.
Everything from like marriage to a wife to kids. And I knew that as soon as I did this, my parents would have to go through the same thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially my mom. Like, I think they have this idea for you of what they want your life to be.
Do you think there's any element too of you being the only boy?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
In your family? I just put that together.
And the baby.
And the baby.
And I think it goes back to of like, my mom and I are really close.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And so I felt like it was really hard. Like, I knew the reaction. I knew like at the end of the day, my parents were going to be fine and supportive and okay. I just didn't want them to go through this like same thing that I had to go through mm-hmm. with my own coming out to myself. It was like, then we'd then had to like come out and do it together. So I remember being really nervous and just always, and just like in general, coming out just sucks. Like, it just, for me, it sucked. And not the reaction. It wasn't the being out part. The physical act of vulnerability of coming out is so anti-Isaac.
Yeah.
And like, being that vulnerable in front of another human being in person is like just not me or my personality.
Yep.
And it was just like opening up my insides and being like, here I am. Yeah. And I just hated it. And I had so much heteronormative ideas that were in my head growing up that I had to like fix and reconstruct. And it was like tearing everything down and building it from the ground up. And I'd been doing that for probably a year and a half with Tyler. And then now it was like, I had all these pieces that I needed my parents to come in and like, hey, just so you know, this is a big old house of cards that I've just destroyed.
Yeah.
And Tyler and I have started building this new foundation and I need your help to come in to start building it with me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it just takes a lot to, it's a lot to process.
It's a lot.
Yep. So,
plus you're right. Like, timeline wise, this has been going on for you for a year and a half, but it's brand new to them.
Brand new.
So like whiplash.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's brand new.
But you, like, it was tough for us to remember like, hey, they just heard about this.
Right.
So we can't automatically be like, and now we're good with this. And now we're good with this. Now we're speaking in these terms. Now we're,
they haven't been marinating for a year and a half.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So for the weekend, it was Veterans Day weekend, November 2016. Trump had literally been elected like 5 days before this weekend. So it was just like a big time period for everyone to process, especially for someone who's coming out and just like what I was worried about for myself and still being in the closet and still trying to come out. So anyways, we had the full weekend. It was Monday. We went to, oh my God, there's such a theme to the episode. We went to lunch at Applebee's.
Nice. I was going to say Bahama Breeze.
No, my family is like diehard loyalists to Applebee's, rightfully so. So we went to lunch and they were getting ready to leave. They're packing the car.
Perfect timing.
Perfect timing. And I'm like, my heart's just beating faster and faster. And I'm like, I cannot, Isaac, you cannot let them leave without talking to them.
Because it's going to delay a whole other trip. When's the next time you're going to see
them? Yeah, right.
Yeah. And you know, my mom, she's got her Bloody Mary bar. She's got her all her, she's got three, two suitcases. Like she's packed a lot of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Cooler. So she's packing. And finally, I'm like, they're like ready to go to the door. And I'm like, okay, I just have to talk to you about one more thing.
Okay, let's sit down now.
And I'm like, heart's pounding. I'm like, okay. And you would have thought like the look and the way I was doing it, like I came in with so much anxiousness and anxiety anyways. It was like, I was about to tell my parents that I have a terminal illness.
You're
my
pregnant.
Mom was like, what is it? Like what? What?
Something's
like,
wrong.
Yeah.
You're making like, them anxious.
Yeah. So then we sat down and I just immediately started bawling.
Aww.
Which is why I also hate the coming out process. Like I hated it.
Yeah.
And I remember just saying the words like, I've been dating Tyler for the last year and a half. And that was like the phrase that I said when I came out.
Great phrase.
And my parents were just kind of sit there and they processed it. And I remember my dad started crying and he was just very supportive. And he was very like, we'll always be happy for you. We'll always support you. And I expected nothing else, which I think is really lucky for both Tyler and I, because there's very much a stereotype of like the macho heteronormative dad having certain expectations for their son. Mm-hmm. And so I think Tyler and I both were very, very lucky that like wasn't the case for either of us. And then my mom, I think said like, we love you. It's going to be okay. And it was probably the whole thing was like 15 minutes. And then they left and it was just like, whew, emotional draining. I'm sure I sat there in silence for like an hour and that was kind of it. And that was like me coming out to my parents. And I think on their end, my dad was good. And he was like, had no qualms. I think my mom took some time to process it. Just like I kind of anticipated that you have this whole idea of your son and who they are. Mm-hmm. And wiping that out from underneath them to then now we have to like rebuild this idea of what it means for this person to be happy. And so I think there's the same concerns where they're sitting there like, I'm worried about you being happy now. Like, can you find it? Because just like we didn't have examples of gay, happy people, neither did they.
Right.
Right.
Even less so.
Even they less did. So.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. They probably saw examples of really unhappy gay people.
Yeah.
If that, you know,
like maybe your dad's brother came to mind for your mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Like my dad's brother, I don't know a ton about him because he died when I was like 4 or 5, but like I'm pretty sure he died of AIDS. Like
he struggled.
Right. And like led his whole life struggled. Yeah. You know, and so I don't think there was any positive examples. And so now it's like telling your mom that like, I have this thing that I'm gay and they kind of just see hardship as like the first thing.
Yeah.
And they don't want that for you, right? Like they want you to like be happy and successful and they think that's like their immediate first thought, I think. So.
But it's very important to know that we are really lucky and that we had good reactions because like any parent out there, whatever you say, like this sounds like a lot of pressure, but whatever you say when a kid comes out to you or when your kid comes out to you, like in that nature, that is going to stick with them forever.
100%.
So I think that should be clear. Like whatever parents say,
yeah,
that will stick with the kid forever. So be mindful of that when you have kids.
Yeah. And I would say on the opposite end, sometimes people will say the wrong thing.
Yeah, for sure.
And then it takes like time and growth and learning and whatever mm-hmm. to realize that maybe they didn't say the right thing and mm-hmm. like that's also part of the journey and that's also okay
mm-hmm.
right
yeah
totally.
You know, it wasn't like my parents didn't get out a kazoo and
right
confetti
my yeah. head. I'm just kidding,
you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, it definitely was hard for my mom, so I think we just kind of went through this period of like 6 months of like learning, understanding what that meant.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, it just, I thought my mom and I were really close before I came out.
Right.
And because we went through that together, like, I can just not describe to you how close my mom and I are now. And it's like, she didn't say or do all the right things and she didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
She just also, like, had to process what that even meant. It was like coming out and being like, just, you know, I'm actually not a human. I'm an alien. Like, they have no context of, like, what that means for you in your life. They have no visibility into gay culture, right?
It's also just a huge change of life plans, and it's a good change.
Yeah, it's a good change.
Big change it's shocking at first, especially if you weren't planning on it.
Absolutely. So after going through that, like, it just it was hard, but it just like brought my mom and I together. We're so close. And like, she's like one of our biggest champions. And I think that's like one of my biggest lessons to remember is like, it wasn't this absolutely perfect coming out. My mom was like, my mom needed time to process. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the lessons I take away from my coming out story is like, that's okay.
Yeah.
If you don't get this like immediate happy, we're so happy for you, you can finally be yourself, like say all the right things, that's fine. Like, everyone else needs time to process what that means for them too. Mm-hmm. And just like, be patient and give them time to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people that have a bad reaction at first, you know, of course that will stick with you, but ideally, hopefully that'll change with time, with education, with processing. And it's good to not freeze them in that moment in time.
Absolutely.
And say, you didn't support me when I needed you. Like, yes, do recognize that. You should get an apology later, but also we're all allowed to grow.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good lesson, Isaac.
Yeah.
Right. And I also think it's important, and something that I feel like was really effective for like our families or our parents, is being able to talk about it or bounce it off people that are not you.
Yeah.
I was always feeling like I had to like have those conversations with my mom, or like you talking to your mom. But I think something that maybe really helped your mom was like talking to your aunt.
Yes. Oh my God.
It was like that. Who's like her
people. Yes. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
No, I just got really excited, but you're right.
Yeah. You go ahead.
No.
The floor's yours.
I'm sorry. Bitch, it was my aunt. Go ahead.
No, just like, I think her sister-in-law, who is the aunt, who's not the parent.
Right.
Who's going through it. The aunt is going through it in a very different way, totally, or understanding in a very different way. Right. And so I think that was really, really helpful for her to be able to like talk, and your aunt to be like, no, like, it's totally going to be okay. Like, look at your son. He's unbelievably successful. He's always going to be. Mm-hmm. And like, when I talked to my grandma, one of her best friend's daughter came out a long time ago, but I was like, I feel like, I remember talking on the phone to her and be like, I feel like if you ever like want to ask about things that you don't need to call me up for, you should like talk to Grandma Linda, which is what I called her growing up.
Yeah.
But like, talk to her too. And that came up later in life, that my grandma and Linda were like, that was a really good suggestion, because we could just bond in a way for those two. Like, it was her daughter and her grandson. And like, what does that mean? This is where we're from. We've lived in Billings our whole lives, things like that. But also, just so you're not always having to be the source of contact, and they may want to ask questions that are not going to be easy, or you don't want to have to ask the person who's going through it.
Totally.
Yeah. You know? You like don't want everyone also is very focused on saying the right things.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And like, so I think
not knowing how to talk about this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's new. Like, they've never had, like, I'm sure was the first person to ever come out to my mom.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So you don't know what to say or what the right things are. So, and it's hard to ask the questions you want to ask in the moment, because you want to make sure you're being like supportive and open. Mm-hmm. So I think I've said this like time and time and time again. It is like, it's not gay people that progress things forward. That's a big part of it. Or queer people. It is literally the like aunts, uncles, cousins, best friends that like are around you.
It's community.
That like create that safe space that they don't have a reason to, because they're not that person, but they create the space for it. Like, that is literally the number one thing, I think, for like just coming out and making people feel okay and safe and all the things. So
absolutely.
But yeah, I remember my mom said like, oh, I think it's maybe a phase, and it's just like his friends are all doing it or something. I remember my aunt being like, Jana, I don't think that's it. Like, I think he's probably gay.
Right.
You know,
but see, that's a perfect example of like, she doesn't want to say that to you.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
But
she does need to talk about that with somebody.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which is okay. Like, it's okay to ask the dumb questions. My sister said, who's the guy and who's the girl?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you're going to get those responses potentially, especially where we come from.
Absolutely.
And someday, I think we should do an episode around moms. But
I would love to interview our moms.
We did get to. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did 3-4 years later get to, like, we took our moms to Vegas to go see Pink. And there was like a very, very specific day that Isaac and I went to do something, and they got to just like talk for like 30 minutes. So like, this is what I was afraid of. This is what I was afraid of. This is how this happened. You know, so that was really, really helpful too.
Yeah. Because there's no one that brings gays and their moms together more than Pink.
Than Alicia.
Motherfucking Pink.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
I like to use pop stars' first names if I know them.
Alicia. If you know them. So then I came out to my parents, and then I needed to come out to my sister Michelle. So I called her like the next day, and I was never worried about my sister Michelle. I was never worried about either of my sisters. And so I just called her and was like, hey, I don't know if you've talked to mom, but like, Tyler and I are dating. We've been dating. she lived with us for at one point. There was this funny time period where it was like me, my sister.
I like knew Michelle. She knew me the most out of everyone.
Yeah, they had classes together.
Yeah.
Because my sister went back to school in Bozeman for a while.
That's great.
So they already like loved Tyler. And my sister was like, obviously, you know, we love Tyler. Like, I'm so happy for you. It was great. Like once I'd finally gotten that family part done, it was like, phew, it was good. So like, I felt like the work was kind of done. And then I was just slowly telling the rest of my friends in Bozeman. And then I told my bosses at work, like my three main bosses. And that was like, I felt like I was quote unquote out, but probably not like publicly out. Like that didn't really happen until I moved. And I kind of made that choice. I think a lot of it had to do with my professional career at the time. I didn't want it to be this like armband of me always stepping forward with the like gay label. So now that's like, oh, that's Isaac. He's gay.
And what was your career at the time?
Still an RD.
Okay, got it.
Yep. Great. And so I was hiring, I had a staff of my own of 10. And then I also, at that point, was hiring all of the RAs for campus.
Did you give preference to queer RAs?
I did. I added it to the form when they're filling it out.
Good.
Like, are you gay?
Put that at the top.
Yeah. So then that was kind of like the hard part was over. And then I was moving. So I was very much like clean break. So I never did like, I came out to close friends and my parents and my immediate family. I didn't do aunts and uncles. Like I let my mom handle that. Mm-hmm. And that was like the right dynamic for my coming out. I didn't want to do it and didn't need to.
Great.
Couldn't afford stamps. So
yeah, fair.
So then I moved to Vegas and then very much it was like clean slate. Like my roommate Ron, who is also from Bozeman with us, he moved down there with me. So he had already known. And then it was just like, all right, I'm out. Now I'm going to live. Vegas. It was a great like breaking point for me to be like, yeah, I don't have to, you get to choose. And I was just like, I'm not responsible and I don't have to. And there's no obligation for me to come out to every single person I've ever met. No. So I called like a few key people. Like I think I called Kristen and Sherry, who were my best friends since kindergarten, and made sure that they knew. And that I was the one to tell them. And it was great. And they were always same thing. They were like, you know what? People asked us all the time, but I was just like, no, because he hasn't told me that. And I don't know that first of all. And he's my best friend. And no, until he tells me differently. So they were just like, yeah, it was so supportive.
Yeah.
And then you could move into like, which I kind of did too when I moved. Everybody moving forward, I'm going to make sure that like, I'm not hiding this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I'm not coming out, but I'm being open.
Yeah. You're going to grad school. I'm going into a new job.
My boyfriend.
Are you dating anyone? Yeah. My boyfriend lives in Seattle.
Tyler. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so we did have like the big post, the big, where it's like where you're out that everyone goes through.
Yep.
Is your big social media post.
I did one.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you have to. You don't have to.
Our generation had to.
Let me cut that out. You do not have to.
I felt like I had to.
However, it was like this thing where I'm just like, put it out there.
Because I wanted to start posting about my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be.
Which I could have done, but for some reason it felt like I had to be like, by the way.
Right.
To me, it felt like the final step.
Yeah.
And I would never have to do it again.
Right.
It was like, I would never have to come out again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then to me, it wasn't coming out. It was just talking about my boyfriend or talking about my personal life.
Right.
It wasn't coming out.
Mine was more about how many Instagram likes can I get?
At that time of my life, mine probably was too.
Still probably is my most.
But I still remember it. I remember the post. I'm trying to remember the caption. I'll find it really quick.
I remember each of us did a picture. You did the one in my cabin. I did the one at Stoneway. Mine. Ew, this is such a cringy Instagram caption. It's
mine or yours?
Mine. Mine says bracket. Him bracket.
Oh no.
That I think mine's is actually deleted
special.
Because I think that after we broke up I might have deleted it because
that just made my face because
yeah that's tricky because I didn't break up with my first boyfriend, I married him, so
okay,
interesting
flex.
Yeah. Bitch flex.
Flex.
Okay, there it is. Okay, the date was November 4th, 2017 and I said, find what makes you happy and stop caring so much about everything else.
Oh, that's so nice.
What was it?
I think my caption was like, doors open and people fall.
No.
It was like hashtag honestly, happy bisexual day or whatever.
This was my favorite.
Doors open and people fall.
Like in love.
What does that even mean? Oh.
It really artsy. It's giving tortured poets department.
That is oh my so God. Good.
It's giving slapped on a picture of...
Instead of a Polaroid of us kissing.
This was my favorite comment that I got back.
Faggot.
No. This is what I got. What kind of nerd tags himself in his own photo? That was the comment.
Who was it?
It was... Oh, brother. It was...
Oh, that's great.
So
That is good.
Honestly, that was about, that was so funny.
Funny.
Is but there, yeah, but then we were out. That was,
then you're out.
That was a, that was a, that was the public wham.
I guess one of my big questions after both of us now telling our coming out stories is like, how do we get to a place to where we don't have to do that anymore? There's just no coming out. Or like, you can come out if you want to.
I want my kid to have to come out to me as straight. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a talk.
Shut up.
Just kidding.
Like, how do we normalize in society where it's just like, coming out goes away? It's just like, this is my boyfriend. This is who I'm dating. And it's just not a thing.
It's like, how can we make it low stakes?
Yeah, I love that. Like, how do we reduce the stakes of it so it doesn't feel like a pit in your stomach every time you go into a coming out conversation, even if it's with your best friend in the entire world? You know what I mean? Like, that's how I felt every single time.
Right.
And it got like a little bit less and a little bit less, but
I think in inclusive representation, like it should just seem, it'll feel less like you're an alien if you're seeing it all over and people you're coming out to are seeing it all over.
But do you think it will go away?
I think for it to absolutely be completely like null is a long time. Like, I think it's difficult. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the norm. The
next few generations. I can see us doing it.
But see, yeah, but see, even that's like 70 plus years.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
I think it's small steps that just really aren't that hard.
Yeah.
And they're tiny things.
Yeah.
Like when your kid comes home, don't ask them if they have a girlfriend. Right. Don't ask them if they have a boyfriend. Just say like, do you like anybody?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or do you have any crushes? Don't.
Yeah. Like just, it's so easy to like take that piece out of it and
take gender out of it.
Take it out.
Yeah.
In that instance. Yeah.
Not make assumptions.
Exactly. Like how do we reduce the assumption part where it's just like.
There's also, I think there's representation in pop culture that I think is pretty good. So in terms of like not having to come out, Harry Styles comes to mind for me. Like he's gotten flack for it, but he's.
Yeah. Interesting. Cause controversial, but I agree with you.
Like the question of like whether he's queer baiting or he's just doing what should be done and he's not having to come out cause he shouldn't have to.
Can you
gay
really
people
quick?
Don't owe us shit.
Yeah.
Can you explain what queer baiting is?
Yes. So queer baiting is like a term where somebody, and usually like a public or some sort of like fame sense, is doing things that may be interpreted as queer to gain additional like clout or following from like the queer fandom. That's how I understand it.
Yeah.
Is that how we, okay.
I think that sounds good.
And sometimes like corporations or shows can do it to like, I don't know, gain popularity or trend or gay fans.
Yeah.
But they're not outwardly actually being representative necessarily or claiming gayness.
Taking action.
Right.
Yeah.
So like then there's been this whole like argument of like, what's the line of what Harry Styles has done when he's wearing like gender, like non-conforming clothes in photo shoots or in his shows? And is he queer baiting or is he actually just not defining himself? And that's what he should be doing.
Right.
Yep.
I feel like there's other stars too, but they're not coming to mind right now.
Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. Never really said anything, never felt like she needed to. And then just recently in an interview after the Grammys, I think.
Yeah.
Said something about, oh, I guess I just kind of came out because I haven't publicly said it. I didn't feel like I needed to.
Yeah.
I wish that could have been our experience.
Yeah. Right. It's like, I wish I could just like, if I was 14 in high school and I'm getting ready to go to the school dance, you should be able to just come on and be like, this is my date.
Yeah.
And then if the next dance is a different gender or whatever, great. And then if it's back to the first dance, sweet. Like it should just be like, let kids explore
and let kids tell you
you what they're interested in and all things.
Force anything. I agree. Yep. And trust kids when they tell you what they are.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I think a lot of parents that are left-leaning, democratic, progressive, etc., are cool with their kid being gay and for some reason are still getting hung up on their kid being gender non-conforming or non-binary or trans.
Yeah.
And that's when we don't believe minors or young people.
That is a really good point too. There is someone that I grew up with, and this just, I just was shot back to this memory. There was someone that I grew up with up the street who was always very, very like masculine presenting, eventually came out as gay. Then a few years later came out as trans and their mom talked to my mom. And I remember my mom saying that her whole sentiment was like, this is just so much, like, I just wish they could be gay. And that would be, you know, like, that's enough. Like, it was like, this has already been so much. I can't believe it's going this far, which is so, I mean, this was 10 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
So, but yeah, totally like another step that I think is just now starting to really become part of like the general conversation.
I agree. a lot of people who have come around and are big heroes and supporters still are not on board with people coming out, supporting trans people and also supporting trans kids specifically, yes. and believing them when they tell you, this is who I am.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And if it was just talking about sexuality alone, they would be believed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's so true.
Important distinction.
Yeah.
Should we do some do's and don'ts? Or like someone's yeah. coming out to you, what do you yeah. not say?
Yep.
Okay, so we'll play a little game.
We're gonna role play.
Someone is coming out to you. What do you not say?
I think the number one thing is no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
That's what I said to my friend Teresa.
Teresa,
we all grow. Shout out Teresa, I love you.
Yes,
and I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
You said it. You were like trying to be nice.
I
like
said,
you were trying
no,
to make
not.
Her feel comfortable.
I feel the same way. Don't worry. I was just normalizing it.
Yep.
I told you I wasn't out to myself.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was Delulu, as the kids
say. Delulu.
Yeah. If you say something like, no, you're not, from a parental perspective, that Oof. Sets, I think, again, we talked about how people can grow and like there's opportunity for forgiveness and growth. Mm-hmm. That I think is going to put your kid back in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't, yeah.
And it sets the precedent of like, I don't want to share these kinds of things with
you're
you.
You're not a safe person.
Yeah.
You're just going to dismiss me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Shut me down.
Yep.
No, you're not. It's bad.
Even worse, which I don't personally know anybody, but I know it's very prevalent. Like, if this is your lifestyle and this is the way you're going to be, you can't be in my house anymore.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, that's a don't.
Yeah, you're going to hell. Don't.
Mm-hmm. You're going to hell. Oh my God. What about God? If people start to bring like the God argument into it.
Yeah.
Well, but like, what's something a well-meaning person might.
I think my sister did
bad.
It. My sister did it.
Right.
Like she was yeah. like, which one of you is the guy? Which one? And she, and in her mind, she was asking an inquisitive question.
Yeah.
She was like, I want to make sure.
Work?
I want to make sure you know that I'm interested in
yeah,
what you're saying.
Totally.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask questions.
Totally.
But like, it's not the right question, mm-hmm. but there are so many worse things that could be said.
Totally.
You know? And it's like.
That honestly was an innocent question.
Yeah. And I think it's okay to say the wrong things. Yeah. Just don't say the ones that Tyler just, you know?
Yeah. Don't like put. Yeah. Your reaction, you shouldn't like contradict their sentiment.
Yep.
Recognize how hard it was.
Uh-huh.
Like if someone like just took my hand and be like, wow, that seemed like a lot. Do you feel better? You know, like
right.
That just would have been like, just so you know, like I feel great about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like you just poured out a lot.
Yeah.
Do you feel better?
Yeah.
That's validating.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like saying, uh-huh. This made no difference to me, but I'm
right.
so glad you told me.
Yes.
Do right. you feel better?
That's really important because
you know?
I think sometimes a supportive person might want to be like, so what? I don't care.
Yeah.
But in a way,
yeah.
you're also dismissing how
hard
it was.
Ooh,
even though you're trying
point.
To be supportive.
Yep.
I think validating in that way and acknowledging like this is difficult, even though you know I love you. I know that coming out is not fun
yep.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't want to just like blow over it and be like, nothing's changed. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Recognizing how hard it was for someone to do that is really
totally.
Important.
Totally.
But.
And if they're in a space, they might want to talk about it. And some people might not. And so maybe
yep.
we just want to move on to a different subject. But
yep.
some people might want to talk about where they're at and where they've been and who they've come out to and how it
yep.
feels and get into it. So
yeah.
giving just, space.
And there's no right way.
Yeah.
There's no right way to come out.
Right.
There's so many different ways. Pick someone that you want to do first as like your practice person that you know it doesn't like it's just I knew when I told Maddie that like it was gonna be hard for
mm-hmm.
me to physically put myself through that much vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it was gonna be good in the end. And so I think the just more you do that, you like flex that muscle of being like, I can do this. I'm going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm going to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I hear the worst of the worst mm-hmm. from someone, I have found so many other people along the way that are celebrating this thing I've shared
mm-hmm.
that I'm in the process of making a community for myself.
Yeah. You kind of create an army.
Yeah.
Then it becomes like okay, fine.
Then it's like, I dare you.
Try it.
Good luck.
Don't be accepting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chosen family.
Yep.
If someone wants to practice with y'all or talk about this with y'all,
yes.
maybe anonymously, is the best way to email you? Probably.
Send us an email.
Yeah.
nogaysinmontana@gmail.com. Montana's mm-hmm. all spelled out.
No. Okay. So I can vouch for these two. They will take time to respond to every single email sent
Absolutely.
To this inbox.
Yes.
Maybe not hate or trolls, but
I'll
like,
quit my job tomorrow.
Someone looking for advice or someone to talk to about these issues, absolutely, you will be heard and validated and you will get support.
Yeah. And I will be responding to the hate and the trolls too.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So definitely send us questions.
Mm-hmm.
DM us. Once again, All our socials are No Gays in Montana. And the, oh my God, there's other things. Tyler had a really good idea to start something new.
Yes, I want to start.
Of a repeat segment.
Mm-hmm.
As we've continued to talk about, we were missing a piece of our life that was gay media. Mm-hmm. I felt like when we were younger, or we had it, but it was like quiet, secret playlists on our iPod.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't the type of, the abundance of queer media that is out there now.
Right.
So we want to take a second to like celebrate either like song of the week or mm-hmm. show we're watching, something that is like queer media related.
So it's like gay media of the week.
Yeah. Well, actually, the original idea was Tyler was like, I want to do like a regular segment. And you said yours was going to be
song of the week.
And mine was going to be
what Isaac hated about work this week. I was like, you know, it's something just really authentic to us. Like something we're really passionate about. I'll do like song of the week, what I'm obsessed with. And we can do what pissed you off at work this week.
Yeah.
That's great.
And we're both really passionate about those two things.
Right.
So, okay, hit us.
What's your song?
You go first. You got song of the week?
Well, let's see. Yeah, let me pull it up. I would say my song of the week right now is by an artist called Holly Humberstone, and it's called Antichrist.
That's what you were singing.
That's what I was singing earlier. And I'll tell you what I know about her. Nothing. I know nothing about Holly Humberstone. I just found her, and I really like the song. So give it a listen.
Okay.
It's that's fucking good. Funny. I did also tell. Set that up.
I did tell Tyler. I'm like, you also can't. We can't take the podcast into pop music. You're gonna have to start a separate podcast for that.
Yeah.
Popcast.
Okay, my song of the week kind of goes with coming out, and every Seattle gay is going to be like, yeah, where the fuck you been?
Oh.
But my Chapel Roan, I am so far down the Chapel Roan path right now, and I've been listening to her on repeat in all of her music, and she's kind of since last summer too, but my top song is Pink Pony Club by Chapel Roan.
So good.
Because, and I take it like at a deep AP Lit
shut up
level, where in reality it is literally just about this woman who is from Tennessee and moves to Hollywood. So actually it's a story of Ariel to become an exotic dancer at the Pink Pony Club. But anyways, the whole song to me is just like this big euphemism for like, I'm doing what I love, which mm-hmm. is like coming out is like, hey, I'm gonna go do this thing because I love it. Like the whole song, it's like, hey, I'm dancing in my heels because it's what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though society might look at this a different way, this is what I need to do to be happy. So yeah,
it's so good. Give that one a listen. We'll tag it.
Yes. Ugh. Ariel, what about you?
Well, I was listening to her on the way here. She is a huge name in queer music. Fletcher is releasing some new stuff right now.
Oh, exciting.
And I do like her new single. It's called Doing Better. If you know anything about Fletcher, she is unhinged and really messy. And she really highlights the messiness of lesbian relationships.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And how we're all just fucking the same six people. And we've all just fucked each other. And like, you can't fucking get away from your ex. And Fletcher, in this song, it's similar to... She's talking about her ex and mm-hmm. how she fucked up in that relationship. And how she basically like... pushed her ex to a better relationship.
Yep.
And is kind of like saying thank you, or like you're welcome.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, other side of it.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Wow, that's cool. I've not heard it yet.
It's really good. Listen to it. I think she is a good songwriter, similar mm-hmm. to Chapel Roan. Also, some people say Chappelle.
I was wondering
Chappell?
That too.
I think it's Chappell.
I think it is too.
No, you're thinking Dave Chappelle.
Nope, not. Some people say Chappelle.
I've heard people say Chappelle Roan. Yeah.
Roan, yes.
I've heard Roan too.
Can we look it up and see if we're fucking could you imagine?
We've been just, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been saying it wrong for a year if that's the case. Yeah, do you Google it and then have them audio read it back to you? How do you find that out?
YouTube, hold on.
Wikipedia?
Oh, Chappelle Roan and you're
thank you.
Chappelle Roan.
Chappelle Roan. We were right.
Okay. Chappelle Roan. Phew. I love her.
She has busted onto the scene, at least with us, in the last year.
Yep.
Big time.
Big time.
Okay, so what's around the corner for the podcast? We've kind of finished our coming out stories, and mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we will do some more lighter topics.
Yeah.
And some more
fun
topics.
We had a lot of fun with the country episode. So I feel like we want to do some more stuff like that.
Yep.
For sure.
And then I think we'll probably start to get into the spot where we'll have some guests.
Yay!
And we'll get to learn even more
yeah.
about other sure. communities.
Coming out at work.
Coming out at like work.
It's kind of lighter, because mm-hmm. coming out, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gay sports.
Gay weddings.
Gay sports.
Gay weddings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for following us. Thanks for everything. And just share the word.
Share with your friends.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, hey.
You've been listening to There Are No Gays in Montana, the podcast where we talk all things growing up gay in rural America.
And if you like what you heard, we'll be releasing a new episode every other week. So please share, review, and follow the show wherever you listen.
And we'd love to hear from you. Have a question or a queer story from the sticks? Follow and send us a DM on all major socials at No Gays in Montana, all one word, or email us at nogaysinmontana@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.